The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Nortello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we'll be discussing a really interesting topic, and that is an organization called Circle of Friends for the Dying, which assists folks and families in preparedness for dying. And they are a well-informed grassroots group of volunteers. And they formed a nonprofit in 2012 to educate, guide, and support the dying and their caregivers in our hometown. They promote well-being and independence in all seasons of life, with a special focus on the end of life. And our special guests are Barbara Sarah, who's a licensed social worker, community activist, death literacy educator, and co-founder and board member of Circle of Friends for the Dying, founder of the Oncology Support Program at Health Alliance Hospital, and leader of Death Cafe offerings in Ulster and Westchester counties. And we also have the Reverend Linda Elaine Carre, who established her private practice, Wellspring Passages, in 2015 to provide spiritual care, healing arts, and death literacy education for the community, and supports caregivers, the dying, and their families in creating a personalized circle of care and compassionate connection for the dying process. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thanks so much.
So let's begin by asking, who is Circle of Friends for the Dying? Who's involved?
Sure. Circle of Friends, it is a nonprofit organization made up of people from the community, and we work for the community. We envision a better and more compassionate way of talking about dying, about educating people about the dying process, preparing for dying, and caring for the dying in an at-home setting, as a healthy community, as Healthy Ulster. Circle of Friends has the leadership of individuals with extensive experience of being with those living with advanced illness and the dying.
Yes, that's right. Our board and our advisory council include social workers, physicians, nurses, aides, spiritual care providers, community activists and philanthropists, and we have many community partners and hundreds of supporters. I imagine that many of your listeners have been to our events, volunteered, and have been guided by the resources we offer about death preparedness.
Mm-hmm. And what does Circle of Friends for the Dying do? I mean, you gave us a broad overview. Maybe mm-hmm. you could fill us in a little bit more.
Sure. Well, our initial focus was to create a special home for the dying right in the neighborhood in our community. We designed it to be a very compassionate and special place to die in the style of the social model hospice homes that already exist in upstate New York. There is nothing yet like this particular model in our Hudson Valley.
We noticed that there was a real gap of this opportunity for our community, and we wanted to have this home for three primary reasons. One, as an at-home-like setting option for our dying, because many people don't have the support needed to care for themselves in their own homes as they're dying. So this would be a surrogate home, for example. And then two, for our community to have direct experiences of dying as a natural and a very special part of life. And three, to help educate medical professionals and family caregivers about this special time of dying and the needs that are unique to the dying at the dying room.
However, because of the pandemic, we have had to decide to put our development of our community's home for the dying on hold for the time being.
Mm-hmm. And so you went, so previously, though, you did go into people's homes and...
No,
we're creating a home.
You're creating a home. I got it.
Yes,
okay,
a real house.
Oh,
but it's
okay.
It's on hold right now.
Right. Okay. How does Circle of Friends for the Dying help create a healthier Ulster? I mean, what do you see as the real contribution, and what real gaps or needs? You talked about that a little bit. Maybe you could elaborate mm-hmm. on that.
Well, since 2012, Circle of Friends has also served the community as an exceptional educational resource focused on the subject of dying and death. For our community's well-being and health throughout all of life, death literacy is an essential high priority.
So that gap that we found was that there was much needed education around the very process of dying and what it means to us. We provide community education about death preparedness, and we do this through guest speakers, workshops, lifelong learning courses, regional gatherings, and we have facilitated over 60 monthly death cafe events in person and online over the years. And this is this death literacy education that has really made Ulster County a leader in the death preparedness movement in New York State.
Help our listeners understand what you mean by death preparedness. I can guess some of the things, but I'd rather hear from you being there.
Well, death preparedness means exactly that, being prepared for the inevitability of dying and death for each and every one of us. Death is a part of life. Our ancestors knew it. Our ancestors prepared for it as an expected part of the life experience. Circle of Friends makes it possible for people in our community to reclaim that most basic practical ancestral wisdom.
I would say, yes, Barbara, and part of being prepared is calling it as it is. Although it is changing, our American culture has tended to view death as if it's a failure, filled with shame, somehow taboo, or maybe just a medical event. So consider the ways our language disguises and shies away from naming death, the saying like, oh, she's no longer with us.
Or we say he passed away.
We lost him.
She has been gone 10 years now.
He shuffled off his mortal coil.
He succumbed.
He's gone home.
Or they've crossed over.
I like, he croaked.
Or she kicked the bucket.
Or bought the farm.
No matter how you say it, we will all die. It's not a failure. It is not shameful. It does not have to be a taboo. Dying is natural. It will happen. This reality deserves not to be cloaked or disguised. In fact, having a healthy attitude about dying opens us up to very meaningful conversations with friends, family, and the community. This helps us to prepare for our own final death exit.
I think part of the education is that many people think of life and death as opposites. In reality, life and death are not opposites. Life is a continuum. Life itself contains all the life experience, all the seasons of life, including the opposites of birth and death, and everything in between and before and after. So being prepared for death means making plans so that your preferences can be honored and so that you aren't a burden to your friends and family if or when something happens. You plan trips, weddings, having children, retirement, movement. So this is the same thing. It's just another planned event.
Sort of just like being prepared to give birth or becoming educated and making decisions ahead of time. Being prepared for dying empowers you with an understanding of what and how dying is likely to happen. Our bodies know well how to do that. Your intellectual knowing helps you to better flow with the process when it becomes your dying time. Death preparedness keeps you from having to make frantic decisions under stressful or critical circumstances. Medical providers and families simply follow your plan. That way, everyone is aligned with your wishes for the care you want and receive or not. Medical professionals are directed to support what you want, and your family and friends are free to remember the good times, resolve what needs to be resolved, to be fully present and emotionally available to you.
Death preparedness provides a gift to live so completely, because what is ignored or denied now will become the work at the end. So when we grapple with our anxiety and fears now, then we can be more at ease when we are on the journey. Otherwise, it falls to be our family's problem, and the best decisions are definitely not made under stress and pressures. And otherwise, the medical system has default protocols that may or may not be what you would really want.
death preparedness enhances our appreciation of and engagement with all of life through all time. In dying, we actually join in continuity with our ancestral community. My younger brother recently died. Leading up to the inevitable was such a challenging time until I recognized that soon I would have a new ancestor. He would be moving into a new relationship with me in life, and eventually I will follow, and so will my children and their children.
Oh, absolutely. Our ancestors knew very well that death is a continuum and so much more than a medical event or a last-minute activity. It's unfortunate, but that particularly in our American contemporary life, some people spend more time planning a weekend away than they do on their own journey of dying. And this can lead to futile medical treatments that can actually lengthen the dying process and cause significant family drama and distress.
We'd like to hear a lot more about this. This is a really interesting topic, but we're first going to take a very short break. And then when we come back, you can tell us more. This is a fascinating topic. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these short words.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's very important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, look how cheap this one is.
That's a counterfeit.
A counter what?
Counterfeit. You know, a product that looks like the real thing, but is a fake, made by someone else. Thing is, it may look real, but it's made with phony or even dangerous stuff in dirty factories.
So what?
So what? Your skin lotion could have something scary in it, like antifreeze or other poisons. It could even be urine and mouse droppings you're rubbing all over your skin, and you wouldn't even know it.
No way. That's creepy and sick.
Yeah, that's why we need to know what's inside. Make sure you're buying quality stuff from a real store or a trusted website.
Wow, thanks.
What are friends for?
Buying fake products can cost you the health of your face, skin, and eyes, or scar you for life. Protect yourself. This message is brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office. To find out more about how counterfeits can cause real danger to you and your family, visit ncpc.org/goforreal.
Go for real.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and today we're talking with the folks from Circle of Friends for the Dying, which is a leader in the death preparedness movement in New York State, and they really focus on promoting well-being and independence in all seasons of life, with a special focus on the end of life. And our guests are Barbara Sarah, who's a licensed social worker, community activist, and death literacy educator, and co-founder of the Circle of Friends for the Dying, and Reverend Linda Caray, who established her private practice in 2015 to provide spiritual care, healing arts, and death literacy education for the community and supports caregivers, the dying, and their families. Ladies, before the break, we talked about the notion of what is death preparedness. If you would elaborate a little bit in terms of why this is a really particularly special time of life, and aside from the fact that it's inevitable for all of us, what makes it so special?
What makes it special, Vin, is that we encourage people to consider in advance, when they're not under stress and not impaired by illness or medication, to consider the pros and cons of their choices about dying. What care do you want? What quality of life is acceptable to you? Who do you want to speak for you if you are no longer able to speak for yourself?
Right, and to answer about why this is a special time of life, you want these situations in place so that you can really enjoy the special time of life. And Barbara, you can speak to it about how precious this last time of life is.
Mm-hmm. Because this unique dying time of life, this special season, is an opportunity for continued growth, appreciation, and deepened love. That certainly happened very recently with my brother. Mm-hmm. It can be a time for reflection, integration, and profound gratitude. We even had some fun when my brother was dying. It was wonderful. Special physical, emotional, spiritual, and social changes naturally occur. Questions and reflections arise at no other time in our lives to make meaning, share wisdom, and create legacy. A circle of care that includes the specialized expertise of comfort care hospice services are an ideal way to support this dying time of life.
Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned hospice. So how is the program Circle Dying similar or different from hospice, or how does it integrate with that?
We're absolutely not anything like hospice. Hospice is a service, first of all. It's a service, not a place, and it's not a diagnosis. It is a plan for the diagnosis. From our perspective, we encourage people to accept hospice services as soon as they can once they're diagnosed with a terminal illness or they're eligible for hospice. People with a medical expectation of 6 months of life remaining, all those are the ones who are eligible for hospice services. Now, these services are paid for you by Medicare and are provided by an experienced hospice team. It's provided in private homes, social model hospice homes for the dying, in nursing homes, and in special units in hospice. So basically, hospice is a service that comes where you are. And very importantly, hospice is a team approach. This is very important. You are surrounded by a team, a dedicated hospice team that includes your primary care doctor, a hospice medical director, a nurse specialist, an aide, a spiritual care provider, a social worker, all working together as part of a team on behalf of you and your family. And you can also receive hospice complementary comfort care therapy, such as music therapy, pet therapy, massage, volunteers for respite and socialization, and creative arts. This is all to enhance your quality of life and manage symptoms. And you can have as many or as few of this team support as you wish. And you can also increase or decrease the amount of support as you need it. So it's a service. And for our home in particular, which was designed particularly to be operated primarily for volunteers and serve as a surrogate home, hospice services would come to support that patient that would be in our home. So that's how we would partner with hospice to provide the support for patients that would be in our home.
Yeah. So beyond the home itself, what do you add on that's very different from the service model that hospice offers? I mean, what dimensions do the Circle for Dying bring?
I would just jump in here a little bit in that I want there to be no confusion between our home and hospice. Mm-hmm. Services. And in fact, one of our death literacy objectives is to help people to understand what hospice is and how they can benefit from them. And Barbara, I think you can speak a little bit to what happens when people haven't even considered the inevitability of their dying.
Well, if you don't consider the inevitability of your dying and you haven't had the conversation, the conversation is about talking about what it is that you would like to have, what kind of care you would like to have at the end of your life, and how you would like to die. If people haven't had that conversation, because they often wait too long to engage, not only have that conversation, but then they wait too long for hospice. And when you wait too long, you miss the gifts that can come during this dying time of your life. So don't wait. In fact, many people who were in hospice early in their dying process actually live longer and better. So if your condition improves, you can decline hospice until another future time is needed.
When's the ideal time to start the conversation and begin start preparing?
The ideal time to start the conversation, we'll speak to that in just a little bit when we speak about some of the timing tips that we have for having the conversation.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We just want to encourage people to start the conversation. One way to do it is to say, I heard this radio program. the other morning, and people were talking about having a conversation about how to deal with the end of my life. It's a great way to start a conversation that you heard it on the radio.
That's right. Well, one of the, you know, people say, well, how can I start the conversation? And particularly because of the COVID-19 pandemic, more people than ever before in history are considering their vulnerability and mortality. So the conversation is a bit more top of mind than it has been for decades.
That's
sure. In the meantime, these conversations don't have to be reactive and dire. Having an end-of-life plan doesn't make you die, but sometimes people do have that feeling. It's like, well, if you think about it, it's suddenly making you more prone to the possibility. But there is research that shows that addressing and embracing mortality actually makes you a happier person, less anxious, less fearful, more empowered, and it definitely makes you more conscious of the preciousness of time and what and whom you love. But here are some tips. So, suggestions for listeners for starting the conversation. One tip is treat it like a regular conversation. Act like it's a normal conversation, even if at first it doesn't feel like it. Eventually it will.
For instance, we know that most people easily talk about birth. Well, let's talk about death. Talking about dying breaks through the taboo and cultivates a more positive, healing relationship with the special last part of your life. One of the benefits of Circle of Friends Death Cafes is how sharing these conversations become more of a natural and easy and compassionate way to move forward. So make the conversation about caring for and empowering your loved one. Let them know that you want to support them in the way they would be most comfortable. In order to have the most helpful conversations, educate yourself about the pros and cons of various end-of-life choices we are all usually faced with.
That's right. And another tip is timing, and you brought this up, Vin. Well, some people find that a private time together is the most productive scenario, and others find family gatherings around the holidays to be a natural time to initiate the conversation. So look for logical openings, be curious and caring. And definitely, definitely have a good heart-to-heart conversation before any hospitalization or when there's a significant change in health condition.
And
Barbara said.
Well, it looks like you'll be able to hear a recording of this program and hear some of these ideas. So invite them to listen to a rebroadcast of this show where they can get some really good ideas, useful ideas.
That's right. And another tip is to realize that the conversation is a process. Sometimes finding an entryway into this subject can be challenging for some people, depending on their family culture. But you can use your loved one's experience and beliefs as pathways into the conversation. And in fact, it might be several conversations, allowing time for thoughtfulness and consideration in between. So you can build the conversation in a way that keeps it from being scary. Perhaps start by asking, oh, what are your thoughts about? Or tell me about da-da. Or I wonder what? Or I've been thinking about this for myself, and I'm so curious about how you feel.
This is really great. And unfortunately, we are running out of time. And it's always, it's always too short a time when the topic is really interesting. So if folks want more information, and how do they go about doing that? How do they get in touch with you and so on?
To start with, share this Healthy Ulster program with family and friends, and we encourage you to keep learning. Take advantage of Circle of Friends events and resources. Just real briefly, we have three important things coming up Saturday, September 19th, Five Wishes Advanced Directed Workshop. Then we're going to have a regional CFD Death Cafe Saturday, September 26th. And Calling Our Ancestors will be a safe distance community event in Kingston on the 25th. You can get all the information for these offerings and stay connected with Circle of Friends through our website, which is cfdhv.org, so that Circle of Friends for the Dying in Hudson Valley. Or you can call us. Call us at 845-802-0970.
Thank you so much. And this is wonderful work, and we really appreciate it that you're doing this for our community and our loved ones and friends. That's all the time we have for today. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.